So James Madison, who could very properly be described as the father of the United States Constitution, had this to say at one point. He said, "Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives." And with that in mind, I want to say good morning, power people, because that's what I think of when I think of the audience for this show and the title for this show, The Power Hour. This is a place where good Americans are equipped with the knowledge for self-governance. So, good morning, power people. And I also want to wish a belated Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. You are the most important of people. This is Pete Hendrickson. I'm guest hosting today for the next couple of hours, thanks to the kindness of Daniel Brigman and Catherine Russell and of course, Joyce Riley, who years ago introduced me to the Power Hour, and that's been a connection that I've enjoyed thoroughly over the years. And so during the course of this next couple hours, I'm going to talk about a number of things of interest to me. Hopefully they'll be of interest to you as well. Mostly topical material, things going on right now. Primarily, I want to talk a bit about the COVID-19 narrative and the reality and the differences between those two things, of which there are many. And also, I'm going to touch on a subject that is a little bit in the darkness right now, I think, in terms of the mainstream attention being paid, and that is the election of 2020. There was, as you all know, a very concerted effort to completely bury any and shush any challenge or questions or issues about the 2020 election. And the very nature of that suppression effort itself, to me, is a strong indicator of the fact that there's a recognized problem with that election. And the people doing engaged in this suppression effort are themselves very much aware that there are things to be said and talked about in regard to that election. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so much in their interest to keep the subject quiet. Anything you don't mind having the truth revealed, you know, anything about which you don't mind having the truth revealed, you don't mind talking about it. But if you do mind talking about something, it suggests strongly that that there is something you do not want to see the light of day. So we'll get into that. We're going to get into that a little bit more, that part of it a little bit more. In a bit, I'm going to have a guest on in a half hour or so who happens to have a lot of personal knowledge of things that went on in Detroit, one of the battleground states that was the outcome, the declared outcome of which was responsible in large part for the declared outcome of the 2020 presidential election. That'll be Shane Trejo. He is a fellow that's very much an activist in Michigan politics, and a journalist here in Michigan. And so we'll be bringing him on in a while. In the meantime, I want to touch on a couple of other things that are current topics in the news mix today. One of them being the interesting fact I just learned this morning, the Jonas Salk Institute has just released a paper concluding that the spike protein associated with the coronavirus, associated with any coronavirus, frankly, but it's a particular feature that's highlighted with the COVID-19 virus, and which is the artifact which the current distributed vaccines, the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, and so forth, all the U.S.-based or approved vaccines being circulated today, that is the artifact that those vaccines are designed to compel the recipients, the vaccinated person's body, to produce. And the theoretically, the object is that the person, for some reason, the vaccine may actually come up with the actual protein, the actual spike protein, and did not include that in the injections that they're giving to people. What they're giving to people is a genetic message instructing the recipient's body to produce this spike protein. And that spike protein, the Salk Institute has determined, is itself the cause, alone, the cause of some, if not much, of the harm that results from an infection with the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So the vaccines, in short, if this paper is correct, and it seems to be being received without much dispute, if this paper is correct, it means that these vaccines are actually prompting the problems that would result from any kind of infection with the COVID-19 virus. and we've seen some of the consequences of this hitting the news, the blood clotting, strokes, other issues. The one of the primary aspects of the Salk Institute's research is that the COVID-19 virus is actually a vascular attack rather than a respiratory attack. The respiratory effect is a secondary effect of the vascular attack that is taking place. And in that case, it's the secondary effect of the vascular attack on lung tissue and the lung-related circulatory system. And so a very, very interesting thing. I'm not equipped to draw conclusions or express conclusions myself from this information, but it does appear to raise very serious questions about the design and utility of the current vaccines. And I'm going to say vaccines in quote marks, by the way. As I said, the things being circulated as vaccines right now do not actually have any of the COVID-19 virus in them. Typically, a vaccine is consists of weakened or dead virus organisms. And once they're injected into the body, the body's immune system takes note of them, breaks them into lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of pieces, and sets up immune system responses to defend against the introduction or appearance of any of those elements, either combined or independently, in the body. And the antibodies are produced which destroy those harmful components. In this case, the things being called vaccines are actually just genetic messages instructing the body to create what would normally be included in the vaccine itself. And again, only a small portion of it. And that's one of the problems with these quote-unquote vaccines being used. They do only provide an immune response to the one singular element of the virus, the spike protein, meaning that people who have received these vaccines may have protection ultimately. If they survive the experience that the Salk Institute is now suggesting will result from that initial production of spike protein, itself a serious health hazard in many cases, not all, but in many. If people survive that, they will end up with an immune protection against only that one singular feature of the actual COVID-19 virus, as compared to a natural immune response that arises from actually having been infected with the virus, as millions and millions, tens of millions of Americans have been over the course of the last year, in which case the immune system is equipped to defend against any and all of the features, any and all of the characteristics of the virus. And so even variants that take place are protected against from that natural immune response, because the variants will still have the vast majority of the same features that the original virus did, even if some small portion of it has changed, or even a considerable portion of it has mutated or changed. They will still have plenty of features remaining from the original virus that the original immune response produced protection from. And so variants are not a problem for people who have been infected in the past. Those tens of millions of Americans who have been infected and survived the thing may not even have known that they were infected, as in most cases for especially younger and healthy people. And by younger, I just mean under 70 and normally healthy people. Vast majority of those folks will become infected, won't even know it. They may think that they have a cold for a few days, and that's it. And they, at that point, have received complete immunity from the original virus and variants of that virus. Per experts such as Dr. Michael Yeadon, the former vice president of Pfizer, Dr. Genevieve Briand, many others, many medical experts. This is not my expertise speaking. This is the accumulated conclusions of many epidemiologists and immunologist experts. So that's in today's news. That's this morning. Very interesting thing. Another thing I want to talk about that is relatively recent news, and there's another one from this morning, in fact, and when Shane Trejo is here, he'll have more to say about this subject for us. But it was announced this morning here in Michigan that Michigan has reached one of its first tyranny relaxation marker by virtue of some specified percentage of the population having been vaccinated. A few weeks ago, Michigan's governess, Gretchen Whitmer, and I use governess deliberately, she fancies herself the adult in the room and the rest of us being children, it often seems. Gretchen Whitmer declared that when Michigan's population reaches certain percentages of vaccination compliance, she will relieve certain of the tyrannical measures that have been put in place over the course of the last year, none of which are legal, by the way, declaredly illegal per the Michigan Supreme Court in an October ruling. And today we have been told that having reached a 55% vaccination figure for the state, businesses in Michigan are now allowed to reopen, offices and so forth are allowed to reopen and resume exercising their rights as Americans. And we can pop a bottle of champagne over that one, I guess, pop a cork, or we can recognize that, take this as an indication of just how insane the behavior of some state governments has been over the course of the last year, since the opportunity to seize this unprecedented power and issue edicts from gubernatorial offices or their stand-ins. In the case of Michigan, when the Michigan Supreme Court issued its ruling in October declaring Gretchen Whitmer's edicts since the previous April to have all been illegal, all unconstitutional, because the executive branch offices are incapable of exercising what amount to legislative power in the fashion that Whitmer had been doing. She simply started having her public health director issue exactly the same edicts and pretended that the Michigan Supreme Court ruling merely invalidated the issuance of such edicts per one particular law, when actually the Supreme Court's ruling declared that no executive branch official can exercise that kind of power. It was not explicitly confined to a singular piece of legislation that Whitmer had been citing as the source of her authority. It was directed at the exercise of that type of authority, period, by any member of the executive branch. But for some reason, Michigan media has refused to make much of that. No cases have made it through the courts at this point to take that issue to the mat. And so Michigan has continued to suffer under an absolutely outrageous and I think low point nationwide in terms of the diktats that are keeping this state locked down and an economic basket case, as well as in a state of destroyed constitutional liberties. But again, you know, happy days, 55% vaccinated. Supposedly there's some great benefit to all of that. And so businesses are being allowed to open. And, you know, we move forward. Quite a thing to have to relate. Another recent item that I wanted to share a few thoughts on. There was a bombing in Kabul, Afghanistan, last week that killed dozens of people, many of them schoolgirls. And predictably, that event is being used to condemn the withdrawal of U.S. NATO troops from the futile effort to conquer Afghanistan that's been going on for 20 years now, in which Donald Trump had attempted to shut down last year, only to be met with a strongly resistant Congress, partly in the person of Liz Cheney, who we will speak about as well in a moment or two, largely, though, on the basis of a an argument about the importance of protecting women in Afghanistan, which is one of the justifications that has been being used for continued U.S. presence in Afghanistan long since the Taliban were driven from power and all the rationale for the 2001 authorization for the use of military force provisions were satisfied. As I say, since then, the idea of protecting women in Afghanistan has been being used. Now that is going to be revived again. Last year, when Donald Trump was making his moves to pull troops out of Afghanistan, a story was peddled by the New York Times and the Washington Post and a few other mainstream papers to the effect that the Russians were paying bounties to the Taliban to kill American servicemen. Just recently, it became clear that that was a complete fabrication. There's no evidence to support that at all, and never was. But that was enough to cause Congress to enact a resolution barring Trump from pulling troops out of Afghanistan. The fact is, there are interests that really want us to continue to be in Afghanistan, and those interests are going to seize upon this bombing in Kabul last week, which killed schoolgirls, something that, you know, they make much of the fact that the Taliban doesn't want girls to be educated, and if that's how it's going to go, then maybe we should just stay and continue to look after those schoolgirls. Well, the qui bono, the ancient Roman wisdom, raises the question, in light of these motivations, or of these interests, I should say, who is it that we should imagine is actually responsible for this bombing in Kabul? The Taliban certainly aren't going to have done that. They know perfectly well that the death of schoolgirls is going to be something that will be seized upon by American interests who do not wish American troops to pull out of Afghanistan to block or thwart that currently announced policy of the Biden administration, which for some reason declared that it wasn't capable of doing the pullout by May 1st, as Donald Trump had negotiated with the Taliban, but is going to do it on September 11th anyway. So somehow, you know, that extra couple of months made it possible when Biden had said that it simply wasn't logistically possible to do by May 1st. But again, the nature of the interests at stake here, unfortunately, very disturbingly, suggest that either government, the U.S. installed government in Kabul, perhaps is responsible for this bombing, recognizing that this is a way of keeping their protectors in country, so as to forestall the Taliban throwing them out of office and maybe doing worse. Or perhaps even U.S. interests, I mean, people in the U.S. who have an interest in the U.S. maintaining a presence in Afghanistan from now till doomsday, as had appeared to have been the case just a few months ago. So, disturbing thoughts. Not saying what's true there. Not saying that I've come to firm conclusions about it. But it is the who benefits, cui bono, is something that every rational person needs to apply as a metric whenever anything happens in politics, certainly in world events, often in matters like the bombing in Kabul, absolutely. And it's a sad thing, but it's a sensible thing as well. So, more things in the news. Well, Liz Cheney, I mentioned in the course of that little talk about the bombing in Kabul, Liz Cheney being one of the key actors in the resolution last summer to prevent Donald Trump from pulling troops out of Afghanistan. Liz Cheney is in the news again right now because she is being pushed out of her leadership role in the Republican Party in Congress. Partly over her support for the impeachment of Donald Trump in February, just to be straightforward, I'm not a big Donald Trump fan. I never have been, but the prospect that Trump had done anything to merit impeachment in the February 4th event, just as in the impeachment effort last year, is invalid. Okay. Folks, I hear the music coming up. We're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, a couple more words, then I'm going to introduce my guest today, Shane Trejo. And so we'll see you on the other side.
This is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Spring is here, and so are your allergies. That's why we have quercetin at a 15% discount, available at thepowermall.com. Quercetin, it's a potent antioxidant to support immunity and normal allergen response. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. 15% off quercetin this month only at thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat your Mammoth food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Okay, we're back. And before I get started again on my stuff, I want to suggest to everybody that they definitely take advantage of the Power Mall's offerings. It's a wonderful selection of great products, and well worth the browse, well worth spending time, and if you got to buy the stuff, the kind that's there, that's a good place to do it. So, I was talking a little bit about Liz Cheney before the break. There, she's getting broomed out of a leadership position in the House because of her support for the Trump impeachment activity in February. Probably she was on board for the Trump impeachment back in February of 2020 as well. Wouldn't surprise me. I can't say that for sure. But one of the things that is a critical factor was her participation and leadership, really, in the effort to keep Donald Trump from being able to remove the troops from Afghanistan and to remove troops from Iraq, and to in every respect do some of the signature things on the basis of which Donald Trump was elected in 2016, arguably, certainly. It was the idea of ending the forever wars was a major theme of his campaign. I know from my own observations at the time that that was a message that resonated very strongly with a lot of people who wouldn't necessarily have normally turned out for a Republican candidate. Now, granted, Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate, and very few people were likely to support her that weren't absolute dyed-in-the-wool Democrats doing it, you know, for purely partisan reasons. But Trump picked up a lot of support from people based on the perceived intent to change the storyline a little bit and stop, actually do what George Bush promised to do in his 2000 campaign of having a humbler foreign policy. Do you all remember that? That was George Bush's key foreign policy platform position as in the year 2000. Didn't end up working out that way too much, but people wanted it, and in 2016 people wanted it as well. And Donald Trump campaigned heavily on that theme. Liz Cheney didn't like that idea, and she and some other number of members of Congress who, you know, perhaps just because they get a lot of campaign contributions from the armaments industry, I don't know. I'm not saying that that's true. I am saying that they do get lobbied hard by the armaments industry, which is a very, very large industry in America, and it wouldn't surprise me if that weren't influential in the decision making. I you know, there perhaps are other issues as well, but in any event, this is one of Liz Cheney's sins in my book, And so the idea that she is again one of the areas, one of the manners in which she failed to support Donald Trump's purposes. Again, as I said before the break, I'm not a big Donald Trump fan, but in this respect in particular, I was very much a fan. The idea of exiting the interminable Middle East trouble spots, some of which are trouble spots because our interference there has made them such, is very appealing. We have wasted vast amounts of blood and treasure, blood from us, but we've shed a lot of other people's blood as well, while spending that treasure doing it. So to the extent Liz Cheney is leaving the stage, I say good riddance. On the subject of legislators, there's another thing that I just discovered today, although this is actually slightly old news. This dates back to last week, just hadn't gotten onto my radar screen. But in Maricopa County, Arizona, the election documents from Maricopa County's election in 2020 are being audited right now at the direction of the state Senate, the Arizona State Senate. And an outside organization has been hired to do the auditing and is engaged in that process because the state Senate suspects that there are issues with the reported results or the legitimacy of the balloting in Maricopa County in 2020. This is one of the places where an astonishing, anomalous outcome was reported as compared to most every place else in the state, and in fact, as compared to most every place else in many states. The outcome of the 2020 election in most states showed dramatic gains for Donald Trump, for the Republican Party. And this was across the board in all demographics, including minority voters, women, it was marked or highlighted by things like the 18 of the 19 bellwether counties going for Trump, his decisive wins in places like Ohio and Florida, and so forth. So definite odd outcomes in places like Maricopa County, Wayne County, Michigan, in Wisconsin, Madison, I believe, Philadelphia, in a few other locations, in Atlanta, Georgia. These places all had weird outcomes that prompt concerns of any rational person. In fact, in all of those states, during the course of election night coverage, Donald Trump was winning all of those states. He was winning them fairly handily, in fact, until 10:30 or so in the evening, when suddenly the counting stopped in those places. And the next day, we were all told that, lo and behold, in the wee hours of the morning, it had been discovered that Joe Biden actually, like, slapped Trump around and easily won those states, and in particular because of the outcome of vote counts in Wayne County, Atlanta, I can't think of the name of the county, Maricopa County in Arizona, large urban centers long controlled by Democrat political machines. Just kind of miraculous. Just all of a sudden, as it was charted, and most of you, maybe many of you anyway, saw the graphs that were produced by people like ABC News showing sudden straight up 90-degree spikes in vote counts for Joe Biden at 3:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning in those spots. Completely inexplicable spikes. So Maricopa County, the state Senate in Arizona, has said, we're going to recount Maricopa County. We're going to audit Maricopa County. And they have hired a firm to do that. And the Department of Justice, Joe Biden's Department of Justice, has threatened Maricopa or the state Senate or the people involved in this process, alleging that they can't do that. They're suggesting that the Department of Justice intends to kind of step in and stop the audit from taking place. And I just discovered that on Wednesday, I guess it was last week, Arizona State Senator Wendy Rogers tweeted the following heartwarming message to the Biden DOJ in response to those noises from the agency suggesting an intent to interfere with the audit. She said, "Justice Department, you need to stay in your lane. Do not touch Arizona ballots or machines unless you want to spend time in an Arizona prison." Now, I have to tell you that when I read those words, it really put a smile on my face. I'm not a big fan of bellicosity and belligerence in politics. I think that it's a harmful thing. Unfortunately, there are those who feel differently and are perfectly happy to riot and to burn things and to be aggressive in their political expressions. But in this particular case, I think that Wendy Rogers hit a perfect note. I don't know that she has the power to throw any Justice Department people into Arizona prisons if they do whatever it is they intend to do. But I sure like the attitude. And on that note, I want to introduce my guest for the show today, who is a good fellow named Shane Trejo, and a good friend of mine, who happens to live here in Michigan. Shane is a journalist with Big League Politics, and he's published many articles exposing the Democrats' fraud blueprint leading into the 2020 presidential election, which we've just spoken of a little bit, and we're going to get into a little bit more. Shane also serves as the Republican Party chairman of Michigan's 11th Congressional District, and he's the operations officer for Rescue Michigan, a grassroots project to implement comprehensive electoral reform. Hello, Shane, and welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Great. So, Shane, you were involved in the Michigan, and particularly the Wayne County, Michigan, Detroit area. That's the county Detroit is in, for those who don't know. The vote counting and observation by Republican poll watchers in the county in Wayne County, much of which became pretty controversial for a period of time when videos were released of the poll workers in the chief counting location in Detroit actually papering over the glass through which the vote tabulations could be seen going on in order to keep the Republican poll watchers from being able to observe what was happening in that poll counting process. Tell us what you saw and what your impressions were about all of that.
Absolutely. And I'll give a little bit of detail before the election. So this kind of shows we kind of smoked out, the Democrats' fraud blueprint ahead of time. We were able to get a whistleblower to record the poll worker trainings that were going on in the city of Detroit. And we got them on tape. One lady was cackling about how they were going to use, how they were planning on and going to use COVID restrictions as a way to prevent poll challengers from being able to do their jobs. It is a constitutional right for a poll challenger to observe elections and root out fraud.
And that'd be meaningfully observe the elections.
Yes, meaningfully observe the elections, not just be in the room a mile away. No, actually be able to do the job of being able to inspect the ballots and being able to root out fraud. So beforehand, we were able to get it on audio of these poll worker trainers, not only saying, haha, we're going to use COVID to disenfranchise poll challengers, but they were also just kind of going through all the ways of how the system is completely run in an absurd way, how there might be one person in a poll location doing the jobs of 15 people, going into all the different potentialities for fraud, how, you know, 15, 16-year-old kids would be handling the electronic poll books, and they'd be intercepted by some random worker before they were processed. So all this crazy stuff came out in what was called the Detroit leaks ahead of time. And we were able to publish that, and that actually went to court. It was litigated. State Representative Steve Kara and activist Bob Cushman took it to court, and the Secretary of State had to capitulate. They had to. They said it's part of the settlement, or whatever it was to end the case before the election. They said that okay, we're going to make it, put it in our directive that the poll challengers have a right to do their jobs. You know, they're expected to, you know, abide by COVID restrictions when they can, but the COVID restrictions are not a means to deprive them of their rights. So, of course, even though it was, you know, in a court case, it was binding, they just completely violated those restrictions that were agreed to on election day.
Yeah, I want to break in here with a little additional bit of information that's going to be relevant to this going forward as well. One of the, you know, Shane just mentioned the COVID restrictions being brought in as a pretext for interfering with the election observers process, and they absolutely were, as Shane I think is gonna talk about in a moment. Republican observers were kept a minimum of 6 feet away from the tables where the votes were being handled, and so they weren't able to see them no matter what. I mean, that was why I said the thing about meaningfully. They didn't have a meaningful opportunity to observe. But more particularly, a lot of the questionable outcome in these elections were related to the mail-in ballots, and the mail-in balloting is probably not known by too many people, but the opportunity for widespread mail-in balloting without comprehensive or meaningful voter ID qualifications came up in a series of lawsuits brought by the Democrats in various states, particularly the states that are involved in these battleground events, that began in 2019, October of 2019 specifically, before COVID was even on the radar screens of anyone in the world. And so the groundwork was laid at that time for massive non-secure mail-in balloting to take place. And then come 2020 in November, and the COVID excuse is trotted out and exploited as the opportunity for universal mail-in balloting in the various battleground states, including Michigan. And so what we have here is the suggestion anyway that this was all actually kind of thought out beforehand. This was thought out before COVID-19 was even a factor on anyone's radar screen, before it was even known, before it had even originally been, you know, purportedly discovered in Wuhan. Although actually the what became the COVID-19 virus narrative was begun in October of 2019, and it was actually revealed in a couple of Newsweek and Guardian articles back then. But no one else knew it. It was absolutely not. It hadn't been picked up by CNN. You know, we weren't hearing the 24/7 drumbeat about the new Black Plague or any of that stuff. So we had this Democrat activity beforehand, a year before the election, preparing the ground for massive mail-in balloting with unsecured identification proceedings and the opportunity that represents. So back to you, Shane.
And yes, that sets up what actually happened on Election Day very well. So, you know, they knew what they were going to do ahead of time. It had been established. You know, the election workers and their trainers were cackling about it, how they were going to do that. So then going into Election Day, I get there at 10 p.m. I'm told by an activist leader that they're expecting ballots to come in fast and furious all night, make sure that, you know, there's no chain of custody that's really mandated. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, these ballots were, you know, if they were coming in, you know, to find out who was bringing them, Were they coming in cars with out-of-state license plates? So just get information that could be used later, in case there was a massive fraud type scenario. So I'm under the impression that ballots are going to be coming in, kind of fast and furious the entire night so that we could process them so that all the trained poll challengers who were there could do their jobs and process them and the workers could do their jobs as well. However, we're just standing there for hours and hours and hours. Trucks are coming through, but none of them have any ballots. They're bringing food in and stuff like that throughout the night. And so about 1 a.m. happens, poll challengers are just sitting around. There's a handful of ballots that are being processed, but they had already been there from before. The vast majority of people were literally just sitting around and doing nothing throughout this entire shift. So I'm, panicking. I'm alerting people like this isn't right. Something's going wrong here. In my opinion, the RNC and the Trump victory team dropped the ball. They were not prepared for what was going to happen. And they didn't have the urgency that I thought was needed for this type of situation. So anyway, I'm alerting people around 1, 2 a.m., any Republican poll challenger I can find, telling them what's going on, this is probably how they're going to steal it, where are the ballots? So then, our worst fears were confirmed when the ballots showed up at 3 a.m. I believe it was over 60 boxes of ballots, tens of thousands of ballots showed up.
This was actually videotaped, wasn't it, Shane?
Yes, it was later, the TCF Center, which is the area of where this all happened. They sat on the surveillance video for weeks. But eventually it was FOIA'd, and that there are videos available on the Gateway Pundit right now of, you can actually see me in some of the videos of the van showing up with the ballot Biden dump at between 3 and 3:30 a.m. that night. They showed up with all the boxes. You can see it on the Gateway Pundit. And, when they were inevitably processed, they all seem to go to Biden, and that huge advantage that Trump had that, I was talking to people out of state, people were already thinking that Trump had won. Well, that all disappeared at the dead of night. And it was the same fraud blueprint everywhere, because if you remember, they paused the votes in Atlanta. They paused the votes in other states as well, in Wisconsin, in Arizona. They paused the votes at the same time in all these different states, whether officially or unofficially. So all the votes were paused, and then all the votes came in, all the ballots came in. They all seemed to go for Biden, and that was the difference. And this has never been addressed. In Georgia, they were caught literally dead to rights after they had ushered everyone out of the facility, all the challengers out. They are caught on video whipping out those ballots and processing them illegally. That is a crime. They have been caught. This is a great point to make to people who are not believers in this fraud. They've been caught cheating on video over and over and over again. And their argument is, well, yeah, we cheated, but our cheating didn't really affect the overall outcome. This is what they've basically argued in court.
And this is something that simply can't be known, frankly. First of all, it's so implausible as to be risible. But more importantly, it cannot be known until the data is actually laid out and assembled, and all of the independent bits of fraud that have been uncovered or alleged are put together so that, maybe, yes, each person that's being asked can legitimately say, well, our thing didn't change the outcome of the election, but you put them all together and it might have. It's an absurd situation, and we have to ask ourselves, what the heck is going on with the American people? What the heck in particular is going on with the Republican Party, whose candidate, for better or for worse, you didn't have to like Donald Trump in order to recognize the importance of the integrity of the election. If you didn't like Donald Trump, then do something about that in a different way. But you don't do it by allowing an election to be stolen. And the very concept of our democratic institution for, choosing who's going to be in offices in our constitutionally limited republic is destroyed. This is not the way to go about this process. So what is going on with these Republicans in particular, and with everybody else as well? Democrats should be just as upset over this prospect. Of course, you know, they view their bread being buttered, and you know, in a lot of cases they view their bread being buttered here. So it's a little more understandable that that they're not as incensed, or not at all incensed. But it is no more forgivable, frankly, and the same thing is true of independents. Anyway, Shane.
So the speak on the Republican Party dropping the ball, after the whole thing went down, and I'll give a few more details. After they brought in the ballot Biden dumps, the no chain of custody, no accountability, no transparency, no one know where these ballots came from. This all showed up at once, never answered any questions from the poll challengers who wanted answers. So then after these ballots were brought in. What happened was the people there, the workers on the ground, the people who were trained, they were cackling about how they were going to disenfranchise everyone using COVID. Those type of people, they literally cheered and said, "This is what democracy looks like," as the ballots were being processed. And I'll continue on the other end.
Yeah, we have another break coming up, folks. Stay with us. We will resume after the top of the hour, and we'll see you then.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.